Father God, we thank you for this moment. God, we join tells us that around are four living creatures who are circling the throne, and they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." God, we worship you this morning. God, we are here for you. And I pray, Lord, that as we look to your word, God, that you would allow us to find the treasure in it. God, that you would remove this broken vessel and you would allow these people to hear your truth this morning from your word. God, I love you and I praise you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You guys can be seated this morning. I want to say welcome to King's Church. I am honored this morning and privileged to bring to you the word of God. My name is Lee. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you are a guest with us for the first time, I just want to say welcome to our church. Maybe you're traveling this week and you're visiting family and you stopped in for Christmas service. Thank you so much for coming here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't been to church in a long time or ever. Thank you so much for coming here to worship with us. We are a church that believes that when we gather, that we sit under the authority of God's word, that we open it, we read it, we take heed of it, and we place our lives underneath it. And this morning is a great honor and privilege for me to stand before you and proclaim God's word to us. It's a special Sunday. It is the Sunday before Christmas. And what a great time it is for us to gather. We're in the middle of a series that we've entitled, Heaven Came Down. Amen? Yep. That heaven came down to us. And the text that we're going to look at this morning in Luke chapter 2 really brings us into the heart of that reality. And for us, the Christmas season is an opportunity for us to look again at the greatest announcement that the world has ever known, that there is a Savior that has been born. If I were to ask you this morning and survey the room and say, if you could just sum up Christmas into one word, I think I know what the answer would be. Maybe you're thinking of that word right now. I think for many of us, that answer would be joy. Like, see, that Christmas is a joyous occasion. Everywhere we look, we see this word. We go to the shopping centers, and we see them plastered on the windows. We get our Christmas cards in the mail, and they a lot of times say joy. Or we look at our Facebook posts, joy. Why? Because this is a great joyous occasion that the Savior of the world has been born, and he has come down for me and for you. But have you ever noticed that sometimes it's hard to be joyful? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, there are people here this morning that don't feel very joyful. Maybe it's because you're like me and you have done zero Christmas shopping. And Christmas, is anybody in the room this morning hasn't even started Christmas shopping? You don't have to identify yourselves. Maybe it's you got to finish that list. Maybe you've been tracking Amazon and the package is delayed and you're getting anxious because that gift that you've been wanting to give your loved one is may not be here for Christmas. There's so much to do. There's so much to get ready for. The kids are out of school. It's chaotic. It's loud. If you're the Davis household, it's noisy. It's a hectic time. And there's so many things to do. And to be honest, it's easy for us to get lost in all the things that happen around Christmas and to forget to feel the joy of Christmas. Maybe for you this morning, Christmas is not very joyful because it's a reminder that that loved one that is always there to celebrate with you is not there this year. And so it's a heartbreak to think that, man, I got to do this Christmas season without that person. And I just want to say to us this morning that in Luke chapter 2, the word speaks directly to us. That God tells us that joy doesn't depend upon our perfect circumstances. Joy comes because there's a Savior that's been born. In fact, joy came down. And Luke chapter 2 tells us how joy entered the world. It's not a fairy tale, but it's real history. And it's not just history on a page, but it's real hope for the people that are sitting in this room this morning. And so I hope that you have your Bible open to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at that in just a few moments. But before we do, I want to give you some context of what's going on. Luke is writing as a historian. You'll notice that, as Pastor Kyle had already read, that he identifies some real facts, some things that really happened. There were names of rulers, there were dates, there was a census. And I think Luke is writing in such a way that he wants us to know that what he is saying is not a myth, that these things are actually historical facts. You have Caesar Augustus, Quirinius, a census, they traveled to Bethlehem. All these things are historical anchors for us. And at this point in history, Israel is actually under Roman rule. They're in a period of waiting, Advent. If you remember back to the Old Testament, the prophets were all pointing to this Messiah who would come. And then all of a sudden, for 400 years, it went silent. No new prophecy, no new revelation. It was dark. It was quiet. It felt hopeless. And some of you know what it feels like to be in a period of silence, in a period of waiting and wondering if God sees you. And into that moment, into their moment of waiting, in ordinary world events, the Bible says that heaven came down. God moved kings and kingdoms to fulfill his promise. He brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem just as he said he would. And Luke wants us to see something, that joy didn't show up in the perfect circumstances. It showed up right in the middle of pain and waiting and uncertainty. And here's the big idea that I want us to take home this morning as we gather together, that Christmas reminds me that I can have joy because my Savior has been born. We can have joy this morning. It doesn't matter what's going on in our life. It doesn't matter the circumstances that we're going through. We can have joy this morning because there is a Savior that has been born. That leads us to a question. Well, where does joy actually come from? Joy comes from God, not the circumstances in our life. And so I want to give us three things, three ways that we can see joy, or three things we could take joy in this Christmas season. Number one, I can have joy in His plan. Look at me at verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration where Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up to Galilee, to the town of Nazareth, to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Luke starts this passage this morning with, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. What's going on? Caesar is kind of flexing his power. He's calling for a census so that he can tax more people and therefore strengthen his empire. And so from our perspective, it looks like a powerful man making a big decision for his own purposes. But behind Caesar's decision stands an even greater king. In fact, God is using the most powerful ruler on earth as a tool in his hand to get a teenage girl and her fiance to Bethlehem, just as he promised they would do hundreds of years earlier. Mary and Joseph live in Nazareth. In fact, from Nazareth to Bethlehem is about 90 miles. There's absolutely no reason for them to go to Bethlehem. She's very pregnant in the moment. But God, as he does, orchestrates all these things that happen. He uses an emperor to bring her to the specific place that he said back in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. So how does he get them there? He gets them there by a government decree. So Joseph goes up from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And the Bible says, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. That little detail matters. God is quietly showing us that this baby that has been born is really the promised son of David. He is a king who would reign forever. And we know, as we read in the story, that when they arrive in Bethlehem, there is no room for them anywhere. And so they have to have the baby in one of the most humble of conditions, in a barn. If you and I were writing this story, we probably wouldn't choose an animal's feeding trough for the Savior of the world to be born. But that's the point. that nothing about this scene looks impressive or powerful. It looks messy. It looks inconvenient. It looks small. And yet, in all of it, God is doing exactly what he planned. He's doing it exactly when he planned it and exactly where he planned it. Like, everything is working according to his plan. So I don't know where you are this morning, but you can take joy in his plan, that God has a plan for you. Nothing happens outside of his control. Caesar thinks he's building an empire. Joseph thinks that he's just obeying the law. The innkeeper thinks he's just out of space. But God is orchestrating every detail to keep the promise and to bring his son to the world. And listen, if God can use an emperor to fulfill one sentence in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, do you really think he's lost control of your life? Luke wants us to see that the birth of Jesus is not by accident. It's not a backup plan. Heaven came down according to God's sovereign plan. And right in the middle of normal life, right in the middle of pressure and stress and less than now ideal situations, God brought joy into the world. Have you ever noticed, though, that God often works his plans in what looks like crooked lines? Like, our lives rarely work out in a straight path. Listen, I'm from Mississippi. I didn't even know what Phoenix was until I was in college. I couldn't find it on a map. Like, it's only by God's grace that I'm here sitting in this room this morning. And the plan that I had for my life is not at all the plan that God had for my life. It just seems like our lives work in crooked paths. Some of you know pieces of my story. I grew up in an unstable home, drug addiction, alcohol, abuse, those things. And when I was 10 years old, I was actually taken away from that situation and my mom, and I was placed in a Christian group home. And to be honest, I was angry in the moment. Like, God, why would you allow things like this to happen in my life? And if you would have told 10-year-old me that God was working a plan, I would have been ready to fight you. I wouldn't believe you, because everything in my life at that time felt unfair. But looking back now, I can see that God had his hand in my life. He was orchestrating every part of my life. He took me from this terrible situation. He placed me into a loving home with Christians who taught me the word of God, who pray with me. And in that place, the Lord found me. I would have never chosen that path for myself. But looking back, the Lord was sustaining me. That path looked crooked to me, but God was writing with a straight line. And that's exactly what Luke wants us to see here. Caesar wasn't in control. God was. Rome didn't choose Bethlehem. It was God who chose it. And what looked like chaos was actually the perfect fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And that gives us hope. Because if God can work beauty and redemption out of the scene in Bethlehem, and if he can work through broken places of my story, there is no part of your life that he cannot redeem. You can take joy this morning in God's plan. Even in the parts that hurt, even in the chapters you don't understand, you may not see the full picture today, but you can take joy knowing that God is writing your story. And Bethlehem reminds us of this truth, that God's plan brings joy even when life doesn't make sense. So if that describes you this morning, confused, tired, waiting, I want to encourage you, take heart, because you're right where joy can be found. So what's the application for this morning? Number one, I want to encourage us to trust God's plan. If God could guide Mary and Joseph through political pressure and exhaustion and inconvenience to fulfill his promise, he can guide you. Trust his plan. Joy comes from trusting his plan, even when we don't see it. Trust his plan this morning. You can trust him. And number two, don't let circumstances steal your joy. The characters in the story were in less than ideal circumstances. But joy isn't found in everything going right. Joy is found in knowing God is always working. And your circumstances may be chaotic, but God is not. God is not. So So God's plan gives us joy, but Christmas joy goes even deeper. Not just how he came, but why. He came to rescue sinners. So that takes us to our second point this morning. Number one, we can have joy in his plan. Number two, I can have joy in his rescue. In his rescue. Look with me at verse 8. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be your sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." You can take joy this morning in his rescue. Luke shifts the focus in these verses from the manger to the fields outside of Bethlehem. There are shepherds who are out working their night shift, just doing their normal job. These men weren't famous. They weren't wealthy. They weren't powerful. In fact, shepherds were at the bottom of the social ladder. They weren't even allowed to testify in courts because no one believed them. They had a bad reputation. And yet God comes to them first. Not Caesar, not priest, not religious elite, but shepherds. Ordinary people. Overlooked people. And I love that because that tells us something about God. That his rescue isn't for the impressive. It's for the lowly and for the needy. And verse 9 tells us, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great joy. And of course, they were afraid. Think of the scene that was going on around them. The angels were there. The glory of the Lord shone around them. And the Bible says they were greatly afraid. They were standing in the presence of a holy God. Fear is their natural response. But listen to heaven's first words. "Fear not. Fear not." And the very next line, verse 10, tells us why. The angel says, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Think about that. That is the gospel. That's the good news. That's not good advice. That's not a self-improvement plan. That's not instructions on how to climb up to God. That is good news that God came down to you. He said, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." This is not a small joy. This is not a temporary joy. But this is a joy that's big enough to hold you in your darkest nights. And who is this joy for? He says, for all the people. That includes the broken, the guilty, the ashamed, the doubting, the ones who wonder if God could ever love them. So the shepherds get the first announcement, so no one can ever say, God doesn't love someone like me. Because this message is for the outsider, it's for the overlooked, it's for the undeserving. And then look at verse 11. The angels tell us exactly where this joy comes from. He says, "For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, here in this verse, there are three titles that are very significant. We don't need to miss them. He says, one, that he is a Savior, that he is the one who came to rescue us from our sin, that he is Christ, that he is the promised Messiah. He is the one that we've been waiting for. Imagine, for hundreds of years, God's people have been waiting. And the angel comes down and says, not only is he the Savior, but he is the Messiah. He is the one you've been praying for. He's the one you've been hoping for all these centuries. He is here. Then he says, he is Lord, that he is actually God in the flesh. In other words, that baby in a manger is not some sentimental Christmas ornament. He's a Savior who came down to save our souls. That's why the angels fill the sky. That's why Christmas is good news of great joy. Because salvation isn't something that we achieve. It's actually something that we receive. Heaven came down to rescue sinners. So if you want to know what Christmas really looks like, look at these shepherds. God took the good news to the people the world had written off. And this isn't just their story. It's actually our story. Let me give you a picture. Pastor Kyle mentioned this a couple weeks ago in his sermon about this idea of a mountain. A lot of times we think about God, we think God is at the top of this mountain. And if we could just get up to God, then we'd do everything we can to get there, right? And so when you think about religions of the world, every religion other than Christianity is this idea of trying to climb my way up the mountain. If I could just be good enough, if I can go to church enough, or if I can do this or don't do this, maybe I can climb my way to God. But the reality is that we can never reach the top. In fact, Isaiah says that our righteous deeds, our best efforts, are like filthy rags before a holy God. That even on our best day, we fall short. And so try as we may to climb to the top of this mountain, it is impossible. But the gospel is this, that God is the one who actually came down the mountain to us. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. That's what gives us great joy this morning. That's what gives us hope, because we don't have to work to earn our way. We don't have to earn salvation. But God, in his love and his mercy, sent his son Jesus down the mountain for us. And that's the good news of great joy that the angels are announcing to the shepherds in this field. Friends, this is the gospel. Says, fear not, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. This is the gospel, that we are sinners who can never make our way to God. Our best works fall short. And so God came down, and Jesus Christ lived a life that we could not live. He died a death that we deserve, and he rose again so we could be forgiven and made new. Salvation isn't something that we earn, but it's received by faith. It's turning from our sin and trusting in Jesus alone. And when we do that, the Bible says we are saved. The Bible says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is good news of great joy, that heaven came down to you. And I don't know what's going on in your life this Christmas season, but I want to encourage you, you can have joy in God's rescue. Your life may be hectic, work may be crazy, Christmas season may be off the charts, but this morning there is hope for us. There is joy for us because God himself came down the mountain for us. We have hope this morning. So I want to give you a couple points of application here. Number one, I want to encourage you to receive Christ. Don't try to earn him. Listen, there's nothing that you can do. Some of us are here this morning, we're still trying to climb that mountain. We're just hoping one day we might get in. You're trying to earn God's favor through your performance, through guilt, through striving, through whatever it is. And I want to say to you this morning, stop trying to earn God's favor. Rest in his rescue. Christmas tells us to stop trying to climb up to God and to trust in Christ. And I believe that true joy happens when we rest and the fact that he came to rescue us. And secondly, remember the wonder of the gospel again. I don't know about you, but we can get so familiar with that, with a Christmas story, that sometimes we lose the shock of grace. We lose the truth behind the fact that the God of this universe, the God that created all things, actually came down low to us. Don't lose the joy of Christmas. Don't lose the wonder of Christmas. God stepped into our world. He saved us. And I want to encourage you, let that truth stir in your heart afresh today. Allow that to lead you to worship him. Because you have hope. You have joy. You have peace. Because heaven came down. And listen, God didn't just come to plan our rescue. He didn't come just to save us, but he came to be with us. We just sang a song earlier, Emmanuel. That literally means God with us. That brings us to our third point, that I can have joy in his presence. Not only can I have joy in his plan, I can have joy in his rescue, but this morning, you can have joy in his presence. Look with me at verse 15. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And when it says, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Now we're in the part of the story. The angels vanish. And the shepherds, they don't just sit around and debate. They don't just sit around and wait. The Bible says that they actually went, verse 15, went with haste. They had seen something that was incredible and had been given instructions. And the Bible says they went with haste. Why? Because they wanted to be near to where this Jesus was. The angel had said, hey, there's a baby that's been born this day in the city of David in Bethlehem. And they went with haste because they wanted to be near to where Jesus was. They wanted to be in his presence. And they know that hearing about him isn't enough. They want to see him. They want to stand near him. They want to experience him personally. In verse 16, it says that they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And I don't want to rush past this part. The shepherds stood in the physical presence of God. The God who thundered his glory in the fields. The same God whose light filled the sky is now wrapped in this cloth right in front of them. Heaven had come down to their level. I want you to notice the progression. They hear the gospel. They go to Jesus. And as we keep reading, we see they go out from him with this good news. Because the presence with them produces them to movement. Think about it in your life. When you have heard or learned about good news, what is your first instinct? It's to go out and share it because this is great news. Like you want people to know what you now know. That's incredible because it's great news. And the Bible says that they went out with haste. And when the shepherds saw the baby, everything changed. Verse 17 says, they made known the saying that had been told to them. What is he saying? That everything that the angel said to them, they said to these people. Why? Because presence produces proclamation. They couldn't help it. They couldn't help but share the good news that they had heard and experienced. And then in verse 18, the Bible says, all who heard it wondered. They wondered. The presence of Jesus creates this awe. It stirs worship and amazement in their hearts. And look what it says in verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds, they explode with outward joy. But Mary, she sits quietly and reflects inwardly with wonder. Different personalities, but the same joy. The same joy. And then verse 20 brings it home. It says, the shepherds returned. And I don't want to skim past this. The shepherds, what did they do? They went back home. They went back home. What were they doing now? They were glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. And I want you to notice what this means. That their circumstances didn't change. They went back home. Their circumstances didn't change. They went back to the same fields. They went back to the same routines. They went back to the same poverty. They went back to the same problems. But they were changed. Why? Because they had been with Jesus. And this, I believe, is the core truth that Luke is trying to have ringing in our hearts, that joy isn't the absence of hardship, but joy is the presence of Jesus. It doesn't matter what you're going through in your life this morning. You can have joy in his presence. And I think about these shepherds. As they had seen, they laid their eyes on the God, the baby. It says they went away. glorifying and praising God. The point isn't that they escaped their world, but the point is that Jesus actually entered into it. They don't need a new location. They don't need a new job or a new situation to have joy. They just need the presence of their Savior. And that is the same thing is true for us this morning. The joy is in His presence. Joy is not found in a new circumstance. Joy is found in a person. And Psalm chapter 16, verse 11 says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. Listen, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. The shepherds tasted that when they saw the manger. And we taste that now by walking with the same Jesus that is alive today. You know, one of my favorite parts about my day is when I come home from work every day, I walk into the house, and my three boys are homeschooled. It is chaotic in there. But there is some excitement around me coming home. My wife is super excited because now she can hand the kids off to me. But it doesn't matter the day. Every time I come in from work, my kids, it doesn't matter what they're doing. They stop, they look at me, and they run and say, Daddy! And they give me a big hug. And I love that. Like, it does something to me as a dad to know that my kids see me and notice me when I come in. They love me. I think about this kind of same thing is happening here with the shepherds. They go to Jesus. Not because He fixes their problem. My kids just love me for some reason. And they're excited when Dad comes home. Not because I brought them a gift. Not because I've done anything for them. But because I'm their dad. And the same thing is happening for the shepherds. They return to the same fields. But this time with a new joy. They go back to the same job, but this time the Bible says they go back glorifying and praising God. Nothing around them changed. They had changed. Why? Because they had been in the presence of Jesus. They had seen Almighty God in the flesh. Listen to me this morning. You can have joy in His presence. Because God came down, heaven in the flesh came down for you. That's the hope of Christmas. So what do we need to do? Number one, I say we need to run to Jesus daily. Run to Him daily. The shepherds didn't wait. The Bible says they went with haste. In other words, joy comes to the people who pursue the presence of Christ. If you want joy in His presence, don't neglect the places that He promises to meet you. Where does He promise to meet you? In His Word. He promises to meet you in prayer. He promises to meet you in the gathering of the saints, the gathering of God's people. Don't neglect these. Run to His presence daily. No matter what's going on, there's joy in the presence of Jesus. And secondly, share the good news. These shepherds, they could not keep this message to themselves. This was incredible news. They had seen God. They wanted everybody to know this scene that they had seen for themselves. They told everyone. And when we find joy in His rescue, when we find joy in His presence, we can't help but share it. So here is my question for you. Who in your life needs to hear about the joy of Christmas? Who is in your life that needs to hear? Tell them the good news. So where does this leave us? Luke chapter 2 has shown us where true joy is found. It's found in God's plan, it's found in His rescue, and it's found in His presence. It reminds us that Christmas isn't just a season. It isn't just a tradition or a date on a calendar. It's the announcement that heaven came down, that God stepped into our world, that joy entered into the darkness. And so we saw His plan in Bethlehem, every detail perfectly arranged so the Savior would be born exactly where God said He would be. We saw His rescue in the shepherds, the good news of the great joy that's for all people, for sinners, especially for sinners. And we saw his presence. Because those shepherds returned to their same fields, their same routines, their same struggles, and yet they were filled with joy. And that is the heartbeat of Christmas, that joy came down. And maybe you walked in this morning and you're tired. You're anxious. You're grieving. You're discouraged. Maybe you're just plain numb. Maybe you feel like joy is for someone else. Can I just say that this first Christmas proves that joy came to the shepherds, not to the kings. Joy came to the forgotten, not those who were impressive. Joy came to the broken, not those who were polished. Joy came to sinners. And joy can come to you today. Because the Savior born in Bethlehem grew up. And the Bible says that he lived a sinless life, that he went to the cross and he died and he rose again. And now he offers forgiveness and peace and a new life to all of those who trust in him. And if you've never come to the place in your life when you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior, you can do that today. I want to encourage you, don't leave this room until you experience the true joy of Christmas. Heaven came down. And because Jesus is alive and near, you can leave here today with the same joys that the shepherd carried back to their fields. Amen? When we approach God's word, we don't want to just learn, we want to learn to live. And I want to leave you with three questions this morning that are applicational for you, that I want to encourage you to respond to. Number one, have I received my joy from Jesus? Has there been a time in your life when you've received joy? That you've seen yourself before a holy God as a sinner, and you've understood that Jesus Christ came down from the mountain and he was born as a baby. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for your sin. Have you come to that place and you have received him so that you can have true joy? Listen, you've been trying. You've been trying to fill your life with all these things, money, success, numbing the pain, whatever it is. Listen, it will never work. The Bible says that only true joy is found in Jesus. Have you found your true joy in Jesus this morning? I want to encourage you to ask yourself that question. Number two, what circumstance do I need to trust God with this week? You say, man, it's hard for me to have joy this morning because I've been going through a tough time. Work is stressful. Money is short. No matter the circumstance, what is the circumstance that you need to say, God, you know what? I put this in your hands, and I trust you. And in spite of this, I choose joy. What is that circumstance to you? I want to encourage you to put that in the hands of Jesus this morning and focus on the joy of Christmas. And number three, who can I share this joy with? Who can I share this joy in Christ with? Who is it in your life? Maybe a coworker. A family member, what better time than the season of Christmas to share the good news? Many of you are going to gather with your family this Christmas, and there are going to be people in your midst who do not yet know Jesus, and you're going to have an incredible opportunity to share. Or maybe it's a coworker or a neighbor. Who is that person that's coming to your mind right now? I want to encourage you to take the good news that's for all people to them. They may hear the gospel and the good news. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for your word and this truth that we can have joy because our Savior has been born. And God, that you are working out your plan. And God, that you have sent your son Jesus to rescue us from our sins. And God, we can experience your presence this morning. That is the joy of Christmas. And I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just move past these moments without truly focusing in on what you have for us. And so, Lord, I pray as we continue to worship that you would allow these truths, you allow your word to continue to penetrate our hearts this morning and lead us to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, I pray for the individual that's in the room this morning who does not yet know you. I pray, Lord, that today will be the day that they would come to the end of themselves. They would stop struggling, stop striving, and they would just rest in you. God, would you give them the boldness to speak up? God, we love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.